Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. I seek refuge, protection with Allah from Satan, the rejected enemy. With the name of God, the merciful, benefactor, merciful redeemer. Today is July 25th, 2021. And you're listening to Words Made People Blog Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, Michael Sahir. I'm soon to be joined, I'm sure, by my co-host, Imam Ayman Abdul Wajid from Los Angeles, California. Our topic today is, quote, only African-American Muslims can lead African-American Muslims to our destiny. We'll be right back after our opening theme song, which will be followed by Quran recitation. We'll be right back.
People, every day, trying to do things their own way. But everything you see, touch, smell, those are things that tell you words. To think twice before you step on your advice. Make sure your words hold true, cause people hold you to your words. They make people, and people, they make the world go round. Words make people, check out the words that make your world. If your words are jive, then jive you are. Cause those type of words, they don't go far. Think and start, word can buy. From ideas deep in your mind, it's words that make people, and people that make the world go round. Words make people, check out the words that make your mind.
From the West Coast, the Imam Ayman Abdul Majid. Assalamu alaikum, brother Imam Ayman.
Wa alaikum assalam, rahmatullahi barakatuhu. Mercy and blessings and God be upon you, my brother, and the radio listening audience.
Yes, sir. I think we have a good topic today. It may.
Yeah, we do.
Well,
we do all of them.
Yeah, well, I had intended for to just draw our attention. I want to say this from the beginning, and I hope to reiterate this throughout the talk today, is that this topic is titled, Only African-American Muslims Can Lead African-American Muslims to Our Destiny. But I want to say this, and along the way reiterate This is not to make us a separate, independent a group away from other Muslims. That is not the intent, none whatsoever. The intent is to clarify a reality that we must come to so that we can go and join with other Muslims and other people around the world. That's the focus. I want to say that from the onset. But we will hopefully, inshallah, delve into and talk about different aspects and levels of the conversation that we need to talk about. But we are not here to try to divide ourselves from the larger Muslim community. We're trying to define ourselves within the context of the larger Muslim community. So I pray that makes sense. And if not now, maybe as we talk through the waters of this conversation, that we will come to better understanding and more agreement, inshallah. Call a friend, send them the link or the phone number. Ask them to tune in. They don't want to miss this show. I don't know where it's going to go. Only Allah knows. But I think it's going to be a good topic. I think it's a long overdue topic to be discussed as well. Only African-American Muslims can lead. That's the key word, lead, L-E-A-D, can lead African-American Muslims to our destiny. I think we would agree upon that topic. Brother Imam Ayman, we're going to read today, and dear listeners, from the Quran. We always read from the Quran. The show is titled Words, and what better collection of words can we find except for the words of the Quran for making people? You know, as indicated in the song that for our theme song for the show, good words make good people. Bad words, I used the word jive, J-I-V-E. Jive words make people that are not the best. So if your words are good, then good should be. So what words do we have in creation in any form that are better for making human beings than the words of the Quran? We have none. We have none. With all due respect to the revelations that came before, they do not measure up to the Quran for making, saving, regenerating, rejuvenating human beings more than the words of the Quran. So this show is titled Words Make People, a concept given to us by Ali the Imam W.D. Muhammad. He gave us that concept. And so the best words for making human beings are the words of the Holy Quran. So we always, inshallah, there will always be a format of this program that we read from the Quran, the best words for making people. So we're going to read again from chapter 2, verse 148. And we have a few minutes of commentary on that, and then we will move on to our topic. Brother Imam Ayman, do you have a handy before you? If you want to
yeah, I got it right here. I got it right here.
If you can, got it good. If you don't mind, if you can read that for us, and then we have commentary.
All right. Yes, sir. MashaAllah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajeem. I seek refuge with Allah from rejected enemy, Shaitan. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Yes. Walikulli wajhatun mal waliha fastabiqul khayrati aina matakunu yati bikumullahu jami'an innallaha ala kulli shay'in qadir. To each is a goal. In the English translation, Abdullah Yusuf Ali, to each is a goal to which Allah turns him, turns us. Then strive together as in a race towards all that is good. Fastabiqul khairati. All that is good and beneficial for mankind, humanity. Wherever you are, Allah will bring you together. For Allah has power over all things. Inna Allaha ala kulli shay'in qadir. Allah has power over all things. And I like what you said in the beginning, that this is not meant to separate us, because we can see right here in this reading where everything we're reading here is meant to bring us together, you know, to bring humanity together, to bring people together, not separate them. No. Yes. If we're going to get into the discussion, I'm not going to, you know, elaborate on everything. But fastabiqul khairati, it just means be out front with good, be out front with what is best. And if everyone does that, if everyone strives to be out front with what is good and best, then that's what we're going to come together on. That's what we're going to come together on. We're going to come together on what is best and good for society, individually and for society. That's all I have to say so far.
Amen.
Yes.
Yes, sir. Amen. Do you have any comments on you have any comments on the reading of this verse?
Yeah. Just like I said, you know, to each is a goal, to which Allah sends you.
Okay, yeah.
All right?
Yes,
and that could be whereas to each individual is a goal, you know, each ethnic group is a goal, you know, each you know, ethnic community is a goal, each nation is a goal, each society is a goal. Yes, it's really dealing with all of these aspects of life, and you know, we need to turn our whole attention. You know, when we talk about turn our to each as a goal, which Allah turns him, you know, we're talking about turning our whole self, you know, our whole life, okay, toward what is good and striving for what is good, being out front for what is good and best for society and best for us as individuals, you know. And God says, look, if we do this, wherever you are in your striving of good, it don't matter what nation you're in, what country you're in, what tribe you're in, what society you're in, what ethnic group you're from. If you're striving for good, then that is going to bring us together. That's what's going to bring us together. You know, and in Allah ala kulli shay'in qadir, that Allah has power over everything. You see, God has the power. It's in his qadr. It's in his will to bring the good people together, so we can strive together and fight against all that is munkar, bad, and regressing society, and exalt that which is ma'ruf, which is progression, progressing society. That's what we're talking about. Yeah. See, this munkar, this wrong here, it's regressing society. We don't want society to regress and go backwards and go down to the lowest of the low. No, we want to make progress, ma'ruf. So we invite you to what is just, to what is right, to what is good, you know, for society, you know, so we can make progress together as a people. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you very much. Excellent. I appreciate that very much. As she was speaking.
Yeah.
I know this is a word in English, but the top of a house is called a roof. And whenever I hear that term, my roof, you know, that which is good and excellent. You know, like the roof is on top. You're lifting up.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're raising to a high. You're raising to a higher level. And you're not saying that it's connection. I'm just saying in my mind when I hear that term, my roof, I'm thinking about what's on top. Because you put the best on top. Often this islamiccity.org/Quran search.
I know the founders. I know the founders of that group. Yeah.
How do you?
Right. Oh yeah, right. Brother Aleem and Brother Adib, two brothers. Yeah.
Okay. Good. They have at least 10 different translators that you can.
Yeah.
And look and compare their translations, and I found that to be very helpful for me.
Yes, and sir. That
what does Muhammad Assad says compared to what Pickthall says compared to what Yusuf Ali says. I know most of us were raised, quote unquote, could I teach on Yusuf Ali's translation. And they had heard us very well.
Right.
And as we have grown, been blessed to grow in our understanding of Arabia, and even though we, even with that, we just getting started as a community, but even that, we can see a need to have more than one translation. I'm looking at the Muhammad Asad translation here, and it says, for every community facing a direction of its own, of which he, and the he is an uppercase, he referring to Allah, is the focal point. Vie, therefore, with one another in doing good works. So here, he uses the word community in the Muhammad Asad translation. He uses the word, in his translation, he uses the word community. For every community faces
community.
A direction of its own. So it's very important, and I heard the Imam Muhammad speak on this. I think we were in Rockford, Illinois. I can't recall the year, but we were in Rockford, Illinois. And the Imam, he taught on this verse, and there was a wide mixture of Muslims there at this gathering. And the Imam Muhammad was showing how the importance of when Allah points us to each group into a certain direction. He was saying in so many words that's okay, to have our diversity, and to have our diversity as a group, to be to feel honored, and our respective races, different races, different ethnicities, different cultures, that we should not be ashamed of that which Allah has given us. As you just said, Brother Imam Ayman, that the goal is not for us to remain stuck being self-righteous.
Separated.
But it says that we should compete, vie as in a race, compete. So with all that is good. And that's how mankind has advanced over the years, not by trying to emulate or copycat or be a carbon copy of somebody else, or not trying to assimilate and be somebody else. You are who you are. And you take that which, or who you are as an individual or as a community of people, and you compete towards good. And if I'm striving for good, my race and your community, your nation even. Isn't that how we do on the world scene, that nations compete? Right now, though, we got the Olympics going on right now in this same spirit. So we have this message. It's not a lost or foreign idea, what the verse is referring to, that each of us, Allah has allowed each of us to be put on to a certain goal, but we should compete in what is right. Keep Allah as the focal point, but each group, each individual, each nation compete in what is good, what is righteous, what is wholesome. And then here, then Allah says here in the end, it says, Bikumullahu jamia, that Allah, he's going to bring us together. Allah going to bring us together. Allah will bring it together because he got power over all things. So this is important for us, and I think quite appropriate for our topic, that only African-American Muslims can save or bring or lead, that's the word, lead, African-American Muslims, and that's how it should be, that we can focus on that. And I'm thinking also, for example, this is just as an example. You have the Miss America beauty competition, and there's no way that the person who is a runner-up can ever win if they always are copying off of the winner. they have to wait to see what the winner does to try and copy what they do. That person who's copying will never win. They have to come from their own selves, from their own situation. And it's the same for people or races of people. As long as African Americans are looking at somebody else as being the one they should emulate, then we will never be where Allah wants us to be. That's not competing. That's not competing. That is being subservient to someone else's idea of excellence because we lack our own idea of excellence. But if Allah turns us toward a goal, though it may be diverse in the various degrees, each of those goals and each of those groups are all excellent for that group. And we need to let that sink in, that we are a new people in creation, the African American or the Africans in America that we may call ourselves. So we still have African in us, though some people don't want to recognize it. We still have that excellence in us. And we have to identify, we have to accept it first and identify with it and then compete on the world scene. Alhamdulillah. Anything else you want to add about your man, Hyman, on this topic?
No. I think what's been said has been excellent. I love the way Imam Muhammad was explaining that. You know, it's okay to be diverse, you know, into your life, your culture, your tribal identity, you know. But mm-hmm. at the same time, you know, you want to respect each other, you know. And if you keep just doing good, just striving for good, then that good mm-hmm. that this nation has and this good that this nation has, you know, they will be able to share that good. And we can see that's really what's been happening on the world scene, you know, as African-American people. We never thought universally, you know, we never thought about none of these things. But nations have been actually trading with each other and working with each other and doing business with each other
mm-hmm.
and accepting yeah. and getting the good of each nation. That's what's been happening all along. You know, just about right. everything we got here in America then came from somewhere else. And most of the stuff we read come from China. You know, ain't no good. It ain't no good. But it's coming out of China.
Well,
you know. Walmart is a distribution outlet that's full of goods from China.
Yes, sir. That's true. But, you know, but look at the space race. You know, you got all
kinds the space race.
So that's, again, a competition for all that is good.
Yep.
But
that's right.
I want to also realize that persons, or I'm saying a group of people, and the cross focuses on the African-American group.
Yeah.
The history, in particular, the pain and struggle of a people's history, the obstacles they had to overcome, and the more intense or deeper or more challenging the obstacle, it really compounds what I'm getting ready to say.
Yeah.
That history, that difficult history, often determines your trajectory, your pathway,
mm-hmm.
because you are reacting to the pain and the suffering.
Yeah.
And often that what we see the advances done by African Americans, we are still responding to the pain and suffering of slavery. When we saw the young sister, but she won the spelling bee.
Yeah.
Right? This is just last week.
I remember.
I'll pull it up in a minute if it need be.
Yeah.
Somebody can call in and tell us. But just from the pain that's still pushing us from our past, when we see that, we all rejoice.
Yeah.
Because of the pain of our past make us want to rejoice.
Yeah.
See, I told you. Well, like you remember Muhammad said years ago, when he saw a Colin Powell or a Barack Obama. It's like, see, you lying, no good people, you lied on my people. Look at us now. That's a natural reaction. You know, those are things that will push you to strive for excellence, not to overcome the pain. And even Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he was striving for his discomfort pushed him. The old nation of Islam saying, right, dissatisfaction brings about change.
Bring about change.
Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him, he was dissatisfied with Mecca. It brought about a change.
Yes, it did.
A lot when I change the condition, it be a good condition.
Yes.
Keep it. A bad condition, she's like bad. But a lot when I change it, until you change what is in your heart. And so the angel Jibril came and began to squeeze on the heart, because that's where the problem was. But the problem is, the Quran says, in the problem is the answer. So Jibril pushed me on the heart of Rasulullah, the Prophet, peace be upon him, and got the answer.
Then
the Quran began to come. So our effort, in this topic, where only African-American Muslims can lead African-Americans to our destiny, we're destined to go somewhere, and the pain of our past is pushing us forward, and we have to be mindful that we were lawless. We were astray.
Yeah.
As a people, we had no guidance. And as Allah says to Prophet Muhammad in Surah 93, verse 7, says to the Prophet, Allah found you dhalan, going astray, and he gave you the huda, the guidance. And we find ourselves as African-American Muslims, we were in the same situation.
Yeah.
We were a people, had good hearts. We still got good hearts. And we were astray. And Allah sent the Quran our way.
Yes.
Allah sent the Quran our way.
That's right. Yeah.
I think we can use that maybe as a segue to get into our conversation here.
Yes.
Because we have a destiny as a people.
Yeah.
And same as we don't choose our birth, we don't choose our parents. For the most part of our childhood, we don't choose our community.
Yep.
But all of these are factors that shape us to push us toward our destiny. And so let's begin our conversation. And this is an open mic conversation.
Yes.
I think we have a few things some thoughts that I want to share. And email either you want to share, then the phone lines will become open.
Yes.
To our listeners to share thoughts that they may have. But I'm looking at my own situation, meaning here in Indianapolis. That's what I'm looking at as well here, right? And a question that I would ask to the Muslims in our association here in Indianapolis. For our destiny as African-American Muslims, you know that the leading voice that Allah raised up in our American existence, or American life as African-American Muslims, was and still is Imam W.D. Muhammad.
Right.
That's been the leading voice. And we as his students are studying very strongly and promoting very strongly his teachings. His teachings is based upon the Quran.
Yeah.
Imam Muhammad's teachings is based solidly upon the Quran.
Yep, no doubt.
And And his teachings are based on the life model, the Uswa, Prophet Muhammad. Most people say, brother, you follow the Sunnah. You follow the Sunnah. Yeah, we follow the Uswa. The Uswa. Just an aside note, brother, I am in dear listeners. You cannot find in the Quran the Sunnah of Muhammad.
That's right.
You will find the Sunnah. You will find the Sunnah to Allah. And you will find
Sunnah to
Allah,
that's right.
Yeah. And you will find Sunnah of people in the past who went astray. But you will not find the Sunnah of Muhammad in the Quran.
That's right.
But you will find the Uswa Hasanat.
Yep.
Yeah, his beautiful pattern of conduct.
No doubt about it.
Imam Muhammad's teachings have been based upon the Quran and the Uswa of the Prophet. So the question I will ask for my city, and you can ask it for L.A., and whoever else is listening can ask it for their city.
Yeah.
How are we, this voice, if we accept, and I'm sure we do as students of Imam Muhammad, we accept that his voice is the leading voice for Muslim Americans, and in particular, African-American Muslims.
Yeah.
Then what are we doing to sustain their voice in our cities?
Yeah.
In our family. Yeah. Okay. Now, I'm going to make a distinction, and I mentioned this before. I guess I borrowed a lot. I don't want to borrow too much from that statement from John Lewis. John Lewis said, get in good trouble. So I may be getting in trouble here, Brother Mel Hyman. But if I'm getting in trouble, I pray it's good trouble.
Yeah.
I said this before, but I'm going to say it again. Okay. My focus here is about the importance and the necessity of sustaining the voice of Imam Muhammad in whatever city you may be in. Okay, that's our main focus. Now, and another focus that we associate with the message of Imam Walter Dean Muhammad. I'm not saying Wallace by intent. I'm saying Walter Dean Muhammad. Because I want to make a distinction, this is where I may get in trouble with, make a distinction between Walter D. Muhammad and our very beloved and special brother, Wallace D. Muhammad. They really can't be separate, but there is a important distinction. And I'm promoting that the difference between the two being Walter D. Muhammad and Wallace D. Muhammad, is that Walter D. Muhammad is a body of knowledge created by Allah that is solidly rooted in the Quran. A body of knowledge that is created for the salvation of humanity. That is Walter D. Muhammad. It's not flesh and blood. It's a mind, M-I-N-D. It's an intellect. Whereas Wallace Muhammad was flesh and blood, the noble vessel chosen to carry or to deliver Walter Dean, which is the inheritance of Muhammad. Wallace Muhammad, the flesh and blood person, carried it and delivered it to humanity. So Wallace was the vehicle for the ways and means, but the driver of the vehicle was and is that body of knowledge, Walter D. Muhammad. So I think it's important for us to understand, and I'll compare it this way too. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, there was the flesh and blood Muhammad. He was Ibn Abdullah. He was the son of Abdullah and the son of Amina. He called Al-Amin, right? The trustworthy one. he was the businessman, the flesh and blood Muhammad. He was the businessman who married his boss, Khadijah. Right? And his body, his physical body, is buried in Medina. But when you compare Muhammad ibn Abdullah with the higher picture of Muhammad, well, what is the higher picture of Muhammad? What is the more important picture of Muhammad, a prophet? Not as the son of Abdullah, but as the messenger of Allah. That's a higher picture, a higher projection of Muhammad. Because Muhammad ibn Abdullah, flesh and blood Muhammad, he passed. And who was it? Was it Abu Bakr? But yeah, I think it was Abu Bakr. It was Omar. I get confused. But he said, Muhammad is indeed dead. If you worship Allah, Allah still lives. If you worship Muhammad, Muhammad has passed. So making a similar distinction, Muhammad ibn Abdullah passed, but Muhammad the Rasulullah lives on, can't die, because that is the mission, that is the model, that is the message, that is the Quran walking, that can't die, that lives on forever.
Yeah.
So in concluding this point, too often we can't fully appreciate what of the deen, because we're too hung up on the flesh and blood of Wallace. Some individuals want us to think that since our beloved Imam died in September of 2008, that that was it. That was the end of it. That was the end of charismatic leadership, that was over with. However, in fact, if you look at it, Imam Muhammad's physical death was the end of his flesh and blood, but for his teachings and for the wisdom, he was blessed to live with us. Well, September 2008 was actually a beginning of what the Deen Muhammad, that message, that body of knowledge, to continue on. So the question is, who of us are committed, dedicated, and ready to give more, to do more, to ensure that this body of knowledge, what if the Deen Muhammad, the inheritance of Muhammad, kept alive with a thunderous thump? Yeah? Not just quietly going by. And this all ties into us being able to look at, to appreciate that only African American Muslims can lead African American Muslims to our destiny. We take the best that Allah has given us. I know I may have said a lot, and everyone may not fully agree with what I said or how I said it, but I think it's important for us to make that distinction, to know that the body of knowledge, what is the Deen Muhammad, is a body of knowledge full of wisdom, pulsating with a thunderous pulse. It's in our lifeblood. It's in our mind. It's in our heart and soul. And that will take us to our destiny. You know, I may have any thoughts on that or anything you want to share, please do.
Yes, sir. Reflecting back on what you said about the physical body of Imam Arif Muhammad when he passed away in 2008. And I had just affected so many of us. I mean, we could just feel it so strongly, you know. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't because we were worshippers of his flesh. It was because we had such a strong attachment to his knowledge, to his words.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was the stronger feeling that we felt. And then once we kind of recollected our thoughts, you know, and start, you know, just reflecting on everyone's going to die physically, you know. But the knowledge lives on. That great body of knowledge is still with us today. You know, we read often some of the books that Imam Ramashahi, has published. that contains the body of knowledge of Imam Muhammad, Imam W. Muhammad, you know, the Imam W. Muhammad. And, man, it's almost like he's sitting right there with us talking, you know.
That's right.
And he really is. And he really is, you know. Because we have been blessed to understand what Imam Muhammad really represents. It's a body of knowledge. You know, it's a great body of knowledge. And we thank Allah for the vessel, you know, for the physical vessel, the body, that God put that knowledge in, because without that, it wouldn't have been able to be communicated to us. All right?
That's right.
But like you said, you want this knowledge to live on, publish it. You want this knowledge to live on, publish it. Put it out there. And I'm a witness. I'm just a witness that this body of knowledge we have is a great body of knowledge, a great commentary on the Quran and life of Muhammad, prayers and peace upon him, and even mythologies, you know. You know, Imam Muhammad covered a lot of things, and we got deep insight from the wisdom that Allah blessed him with. So we can never be grateful enough for what Allah has given us, him in America, you know, to help us establish our destiny here in this country, to keep us going on the destiny till we reach our destiny, you know, to reach our conclusion. We can never thank Allah enough for what Allah has blessed us with. We can't take this for granted. This is special. It's wonderful.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
We do want to thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah.
We do want to encourage our listeners to press one on their phone at any time they have a question or comment on this topic.
Because
we want to grow the conversation. We want to grow the conversation. I want to read. I don't have the year. Go ahead. You going to say something?
No, I was just going to say that the topic of, you know, it takes one of our own to lead us in this situation. You know, when I think about Imam Muhammad, Imam Waqif Muhammad, as a Muslim African-American, the son of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad here in America, you know, he is us, and we are him, you know. That's another beautiful thing, too, because I remember in 2006, remember, we were at the convention there in Chicago, and Imam Muhammad in the Jummah was explaining. He said, now, when they talk about me, they talk about the leader, tell them that you are the leader, that we're one. I am you and you and me. We are one, you know. So
I remember.
You remember that? Yeah. We were sitting right there, you know. And that's true. That's very, very true. I couldn't say it no better. I remember one guy asked me, he said, well, what y'all going to do now that the big man's gone, you know? What y'all going to do now? I said, we're going to do what we've been doing, man. We're going to continue to keep working, man. You know, and I didn't say nothing
right.
else. I didn't even dignify that, you know.
That's right.
Because this guy hated Imam Waqif Muhammad. But he really hated the knowledge. That's what he hated. He hated that body of knowledge and what Imam Muhammad represented. He didn't like it. Yeah, and I knew he didn't like it, you know, and I just gave him that answer. We're going to keep doing what we do. We're going to keep working. Praise be to Allah.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget, even remember Imam Yahya. Remember Imam Yahya Abdullah? You know, say this right quick because it's connecting. Remember Imam Yahya? Remember he was up there talking, and he said somebody called him up or came to him and said, well, what we going to do now? What we going to do now? And then Yahya say, well, what you been doing?
He said, that's right.
Well, what you been doing? What? Yeah, remember that? He said, well, what you been doing?
Yeah,
if you ain't been doing nothing, you ain't going to do nothing but go back in your corner and do nothing.
Right.
Alhamdulillah.
I think one point of phrase they asked was, well, what were you doing last week?
Yeah, you know, that's right.
Then what are we going to do now? What were you doing last week? But keep doing what
yeah,
you doing.
Exactly. Alhamdulillah.
I don't know if Imam Yahya was able to call in, but he said Imam Muhammad gave him express instructions to get this community on the path where he had established.
There are some fundamentals
that we have to keep, you know.
Yeah.
And so, alhamdulillah. But
you had made a mention too about the message lives on, and Muhammad the prophet, the message, you know. And I wanted to just quote that ayat in right quick, in 49, verse 7.
Yes, sir.
49, yeah, 49, verse 7. Let me just read it right quick. Wow. I mean, I had it. Okay, here it is right here. Yeah, it says, I'm going to read the Arabic, then I'm reading English real quick. It's real quick. وَعْلَمُوا عَلَمَا and know, وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ فِيكُمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. Okay? It's very plain here, very explicit, where it says, and know that in you is Rasulullah. That in you is the messenger of Allah. Yes, yes. Very, very explicit. Now, Abdul Yusuf Ali translated, and I'd like you to look at those other translations when you get a chance, 49:7. The language, he says,
right now,
and among, yeah, he says, and among you, you see? But the language is very clear. When it says, fikum, in you is the messenger of Allah. And that is a testimony to what you said earlier. That's a testimony to what you said earlier about how the message lives in us, you know. Not the physical body, but the body of knowledge, that message, those words, you know, this is words make people, right? Those words are living in us. And that is what's making us a new people. Praise be to Allah.
Yeah, I'm looking at these translations. I've got about five translations with that verse, 49, verse 7.
Yeah.
And they, most of them says among you.
Among,
among you. But there's one done by this sister named Layla Bakir, I think is how to pronounce her name. And she says, her translation says, know you that the messenger of God is of you.
Yeah, there you
of
go.
You.
Yeah. Now, of and in, you know.
So, but thanks for bringing that out, because we need to be mindful of that. But we do want to impress, want to encourage our listeners to press one to have a thought or comment on this topic, because this is us. We're talking about us, and we need to be very mindful of this conversation. I want to read a statement by Imam Muhammad. It was in New York City. That's all I know, because I'm trying to get into the habit of, when I quote Imam Muhammad, whenever possible, to mention the city and the date in which he said whatever I'm quoting. I think that would be a good habit, or not habit, or not habit, yes, for us to develop, that whenever possible, when we quote Imam Muhammad, that we try to mention the city as well as the date. I think it would go a long way. But here he says, quote, I stood up as the son of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I said to you, quote, the Quran, let us go to it. The Sunnah of the Prophet, let us accept it. I said that I won't be defeated. Your imam has been set on the right track, and I don't need foreigners to lead me. And I didn't know what I know now. I knew nothing compared to what I know now. But the spirit moved me to say those things. And now you are seeing me exist and live till now, and no foreigner has taken over. Huh? Allahu Akbar. They come in, and they think that they know. They want to recite Quran. They come in with a foreign dress. They come in with the knowledge from abroad, and they think that they are going to lure you away from me. But you hear what I say, and what I say goes deeper into you and opens the vision more than what they say does. They sit by and look foolish and crazy, empty-eyed, baffled. They say, how come we haven't been able to pull these people away from that man? He isn't that educated. He doesn't know much. He didn't go to Al-Azhar University. He's never been to Pakistani schools. How come we haven't been able to get those people away from that man? Imam, he concludes, he says, I know, and you know, it's because God has blessed this man and has established this man and has not put a teacher above him except Muhammad the Prophet. So that's a quote from Imam Muhammad. Again, I know it was from in New York City, but I do not know the date. Was that quote?
Yeah, what? Yeah, it was in New York. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it was in New York.
Imam Muhammad. Yes. So, and that's not to be bragging or to put ourselves above anybody, but it's just recognizing the fact that Allah gave us a great leader, a great mind. He gave us to us Imam Muhammad, the mayor, as you were ever in his presence. Very humble, very nice, treated you very well. But then he would often say, he said, I too follow Imam Walter D. Muhammad. And he said that on very many occasions, in very many ways and in various contexts. And let us know that he was pointing us not to look at himself. And that's why they can't see it now, dear people. In alignment.
Yeah.
They say, well, how are we gonna get them away from him? You can't. It's impossible.
No. It's impossible. No, forget it.
They can't forget that. It's already done. By the time that they woke up to realize what was happening, it was over.
That's right. Yeah, you know, Imam Muhammad used to say too. He said, "Look, if I am bragging, he said, I'm bragging on what Allah has done for us."
That's right.
I'm bragging on what Allah has done for us. You know, say no. This ain't no crazy ego trip bragging. No, this is being a witness. You know, giving testimony,
right.
Being a shaheed on what God has done for us. Alhamdulillah.
Amen.
Well,
we're going to go to our first caller. This is a Chicago number. Caller from 773. Thanks for calling Words Made People. Can you give us your first name and city, please?
This is Shakira, Chicago. Assalamualaikum.
Yes. Alaykum assalam, Shakira. How you doing?
Good. Praise be to Allah. How you all doing? Assalamu alaikum to you all and to the audience. And I'm so grateful and thankful to Allah for this topic today, because it's something that's dear to my heart about as a people. And it's just like being members of a family. Their family take their family to where they need to go. If other families, all of us, in this, to me, it's an unfortunate situation that we as African-American people have to continue to explain ourselves. Everybody has their own culture, everyone. Imam Muhammad had mentioned in North Carolina, I don't remember the year, but they never published his talk. It was a New World Order. And he said that Al-Islam came to enhance the culture of the people. Everyone have a culture and a way of life, and how you serve the Creator is part of that culture. So I always am a part of wanting our people, African-American people, to be have an excellent life like everyone else, because that's what Allah gave us. We're no different from anyone else. So to know that we are capable of having our life given to us by someone else is very important to us, because this is what's affecting us now, that our children see us not being worthy and they go out somewhere else, because we point to us for all time and bring it up. So I want to say real quick, and I know other people want to say something, and with the Holy Quran verse, to strive toward all that is good. We have to always remember that. Let's always do what's good and do what's right in all our endeavors. Imam Muhammad told us that entertainment is what have taken our lives, and entertainment is what's going to be restored. So we have those wholesome cultures and wholesome, recreation, that we do these things because we have a culture also. Other people would want us to be part of their culture, and that's not natural for us. It does. We have a spirit and everything just like everyone else, and I think this is what we need to continue to tell our children, that they get precious diamonds, and you are worthy also, coming out of slavery. And we might have been in physical chain, but we always kept a certain kind of thing going. So we have to do that same thing now, even though we don't have the physical chain. They try to mess with our mind, but you're worthy. When the young men walk around, you know, showing they, you know, no, son, you better than that. You got to pull your pants up. It's okay. Don't make you behave like you own the world. That, and this is what, you know, institutions and things came through us, and we have to continue to teach that history. And the last point, and I'm going to go to maybe two connecting things, and I want to say when Sister Muhammad closed here in Chicago, it was 30 years something ago, and Imam Muhammad told us we had an educational system that was large, the independent system in the United States, where we could teach our own to be good and still mingle among other people and feel good, just like we prayed be to Allah, Ahad, that you can go among other people and feel that you're just as good as they are, and we can mingle and learn about each other. We come home from Mount Arafat and we learn and we share and we do better. That's one of the points that the children, I taught them at home, and I always tell people, you know, I had a lot of criticism, how they going to make it, they not going to be sociable and all of that. And I said, well, children know, learn how to be sociable at home, because if they get among other students at school, you know, children talk about each other just like parents and older people do. And if you're not sociably stable, then the school can make break you sociably. So, and then my daughter, what happened, and I tell everybody, what happened to her is such a great devastation. And I say it because I know I talked to one sister, and she was born a Muslim, and her parents, real strong, doing dawah, you know, going all over, you know, helping to establish a real strong family. And she said if that had happened to her, she would have jumped out of the window. So my daughter is a quadriplegic. She doesn't have a right hand, part of left hand. No right leg, part of a left leg. This happened to her in 2013. And I always thank Allah, because I said I took time to teach them the greatness of Allah. Didn't expose or send them something else under that, because we worked hard to raise our children Muslims. So I said, if then nothing else come out of that but her being able. Now, she have her situation. She's not perfect. But for her situation, and I won't take time to go into all the things that goes on, you know, they're always busy and, you know, coming at her all kinds of ways. And she's still fighting back. She told me 3 days ago, she said, Mama, El-Islam, being a Muslim is in my heart. So this is, and I said, that's a great lesson. And six is African-American Muslims, leading African-American Muslims. I didn't send them to somebody else. to have them to be a Muslim, I taught them to be a Muslim. Now, the other last point, Imam Sahib has an excellent book that everybody, not just African Americans, everybody needs to know, because what happened to us as slavery, it affects the whole world. He, the book, The Honor Be Elijah Muhammad, The Man Behind the Men. And we know the men are Imam Muhammad, Malcolm X, Minister Farrakhan, Muhammad Ali. These are great people that people know them all around the world. But where?
That's right. Thank you.
And some things. This is a history that all of us need to know. We need to, you know, I have some of the books and I tell people, I say, if you have one, share it with the young people. These, our children need to know the struggles in their great history. They need to know this. They put this at it. They don't think African Americans, the African Americans, and we have to be careful with the words made people. They do not think that we are Muslims, because the greater influence.
Well,
we're going to
change that.
Yeah, we got to change it.
And that's another point you made. You just said their son don't think we're Muslim, but then there are some who know we're Muslim, but they want to see us not being learned Muslims, but not being the best Muslims, because we came out of the church or we came out of whatever life you came from. But the Quran makes a claim that Allah chooses those to be Muslim, and also in the part where it says he made his man from nothing, then that's important for us to keep in mind too, because we as a people, and we have some individual successes, but as a people, we have been reduced to nothing, in particular, nothing of our own. And that's the kind of person or model that Allah will use to raise us from being nothing to being something. But we just have to make a point here that this is why can no one lead us to our destiny except for one who has been through our pain. I'm talking about now, and we're being specific, right? We're talking about African American Muslim. Our journey, you know, and we love all the Muslims. I don't care what their race or background may be. But for the progress that we have to make as an African American Muslim, the only one that can lead us is African Americans who have been through our pain, our history, struggles as well. They can help us, but they don't realize that this is no offense to anybody. What they offer to us as help has often been a hurt. Because it's not rooted in our history. It's not rooted in our reality. So they say, I'll just do zikr, you know, just make salat, you know, just pay zakat, you know. Okay, that's automatic. I mean, that comes with just being Muslim. But there are specific needs that we have. And we said it from the beginning. Remember, what Allah gave Imam Muhammad, what Allah taught Imam Muhammad, is sufficient to bring us out of our need. So thank you, Sister Shakira.
May Allah continue to bless you all. Assalamu alaikum.
Ameen. Alaykum assalam. And also, I want to say, as you go off, you have to be listen to what she said on how she raised her children.
Yes.
You know, we have to be very sensitive, very conscious that we let our children know our way to salvation. Don't be looking to other people to lead you. They can share with you, right? They can, and we learn from them, they learn from us, but don't never look to another people to lead you. You don't do that. Not for this. Yeah, the president leads the country, but the mayor leads the city, and we know that. But for our African-American Muslim life, we have to look to African-American Muslims to lead us in that regard. You know, I mean, anything you want to add to that?
No, I'm just reflecting. I really appreciate Sister Shakura. You know, her comments are very, very heartfelt. You can tell that she's been really sincerely working for many years to establish what we represent, and I think that's so beautiful. You know, and we have others like her around this country, and, you know, I think we need to all stay in touch with each other because, you know, this is our strength. Mm-hmm. And, again, we really appreciate her comments and because she always brings in a family.
Let me ask this, too. Working with the sister to a small degree, she's more than conversation. She's demonstration. She has a 25-year foundation.
Yes.
Raising money to send African American students to college. A 25-year track record.
Yes.
So and there's more. Yeah. So I just wanted to say
that. Much appreciated.
Yeah. I'm doing well.
So
we do want to press our callers to press one on the phone. Join in the conversation. You know, why is it that you say maybe you disagree? That's okay too. Maybe you disagree. But we're saying only African American Muslims can lead African American Muslims to our destiny. And so somebody may say, well, what is our destiny? A lot of our destiny, we know that let's put the priority. Our first priority, our destiny is to please Allah. That's first and foremost. There's nothing above that. I don't care what your background, your race may be. Allah always comes first. Another destiny that is that we want to establish the model of Medina and Manara, Medina, the city of lights, that was established by Prophet Muhammad in his lifetime. That's the model. We want to have those as similar. We want to study that model in Medina and to establish that in all of our locales. And also, our destiny is to have replaced, to put back into its proper place, order, and orbit all that slavery stole and robbed from us that is natural for the human being to have. Natural, not the unnatural. They've given us a lot of unnatural freedoms. We think we're coming out of slavery, getting these freedoms. We only want the natural freedoms. Take it how you want to take it. You don't want the natural freedoms. These are the energies, the urgings working in our African American soul. Those are our destinies, plural, not destiny singular. Destiny with an IES, destinies as a people. What has been denied from us? And if you talk to a psychologist, I am not a psychologist. But I'm sure, I feel very confident that a psychologist will tell someone that what is moving in your life now is because there's something in the past that just didn't go right, and you're trying to compensate for something that has happened to you in the past that's blocking you and denying you to get to your destiny, to get to your aspirations in life. And we have that problem going on within the African American reality. We go to our next caller we have here, and we do encourage people to press one on their phone to have a comment on this conversation. Now, this number here I know very well because I pay the phone bill. This is my wife, Carol. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum to Brother Ayman and all the listeners.
Wa alaikum assalam, my dear sister Kelvin. How?
On the subject that you speak, only African American can lead African American, or
to our destiny.
To our destiny. That's true, because if you let someone else lead you, then it becomes their destiny, in grafting with yours. So you have to, you know, therefore you be lost and trying to find your destiny, because it'd be all about them and not about yours. Like, we have a lot of history here that people want to sweep under the rug and say it didn't happen, or, you know, we weren't enslaved people, and, you know, all that kind of rhetoric. So we have to be the one to lead, because we know, you know, our destiny and how we came about here and how we are moving forward. So, you know, just recently a lot of things weren't revealed to us, or a lot of African Americans were afraid to speak of what had happened, you know, in various, you know, situations, out of fear of they might be you know, ostracized, or, you know, they just want to bring up their hurt. So only African American people can express our destiny as to how far and where we want to go. Assalamu alaikum.
Yeah, thank you. And if I follow, I like your point. I like your point. One point that I really like is if someone else is leading you, then they're not going to lead you to your destiny. They're only going to use you. And maybe they don't mean to abuse you, but you're only going to become good or a tool for their destiny.
Right, because they want the credit.
They want the credit. Yeah, they're going to take the credit. Yeah, that's so true. Yeah, so you fall in someone else's wish. You know, I often think about this scene. I think we can relate to it. You recall the, I think it was a TV sitcom. These sitcoms were produced and directed by Norman Lear. And he had a series of African-American sitcoms. And I get the impression he was making mockery of African-Americans, in particular the one, I think it's called The Jeffersons. Is that the one where they sing the song, Move It On Up to the East Side?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's the one, yeah. There's a constant theme throughout that series that comes in over and over again. One of the aspirations of George Jefferson is to meet a guy named Mr. Whittingdale. And throughout the many years that show was on, he always missed him by a little bit. He was always chasing Mr. Whittingdale. And I'm just using that as an example, because he never could get to him. And when you look at it, it's like you are chasing somebody else, George Jefferson. You are chasing somebody else. Instead of going and establishing your own thing, why are you chasing someone else? Why are you chasing Mr. Whittingdale? And so he never could, he was never satisfied in his own soul. Because he was trying to find somebody else who he looked up to as being bigger than himself. So one missing quality, or one which is really a motivation in us reaching our destiny as the African American, in this case African American Muslims, is that we are not chasing our destiny through another man, as George Jefferson was chasing his destiny through another man. And Norman Lear never let him find that other man, except he missed him at the elevator. He missed him in the lobby, or so somebody come in and say, "Oh, I just saw Mr. Whittingdale here." He'd go flying out the door saying, "Where's he at?" He never found him.
Yeah. Yep. Very good example.
Never found him. Yes, sir. So I don't know, was Mr. Lear making fun of us? Was Mr. Lee a part of us, or was he trying to give us, or was he trying to give us a hint?
We never catch up. You know, the thing is too is that when you're not aware, and you did, mentally did, you know, and you don't know where your destiny is, you're going to be following everybody and everything. But I like what Sister Carolyn said, that if you allow somebody to come in with their destiny, then you, now you're getting away from where you got to go. And it goes really back to the verse. It goes back to the verse in the Quran that you've chosen for us today. To each is a goal, okay? To each is a goal to where Allah turns him. All right? So that means each of us have that mission, have that goal. You know, each race, each ethnicity, each community, they have their own goals. They have, you know, they're striving to their own goals. And then God will bring us all together in the end. But, you know, we have to always keep in mind that each of us have that responsibility. God has given each of us that responsibility and wants all of us to fulfill that responsibility as individuals, as separate groups, separate communities, separate ethnicities, okay? But still, in the end, we all come together like at Hajj. You know, we all come together, you know, as one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but we have the nations and tribes. Go back to what it says in 49:13. And we have made you, created you from a male and female, and made you into nations and tribes. Now, the national identity is a respectable identity. The tribal identity is a respectable identity. But God says, not that you should despise each other, though. We don't want to be frightened because we're different races, different nations, different tribes. No, God wants us to get to know each other. Lita'arafu, get to know each other. Okay? Yes, so I think that's the wisdom there, that although we have all these different nations and tribes and nationalities and nations, each of them was striving in their own, you know, communities to establish themselves, now let's come together so we can get to know each other. Because in knowing each other and acknowledging each other, we strengthen each other. Alhamdulillah.
That's right. Yes, you know, and it's not about being selfish, it's about being focused.
Yes.
You know, again, I'm gonna use another analogy from the Olympics. You got two guys running a race, 100-yard dash. You cannot be admiring and looking at your opponent that he sure can run while the race is going on. You know what I'm saying? Not while the race is going, maybe you could watch the film later on and say, man, he sure looked good, and he beat me, and I can study it. But while the race is going on, you'd be at a basketball game or whatever, you cannot be admiring the competition while you're competing to win the game. And it's the same way here. You know, when the game's over with, you shake hands and all that, maybe you can go out and have dinner together.
Yeah.
But while you're in the heat of the moment, you can't be
right.
And, you know, I mean, if a guy goes down there and he dunk on you, you're gonna come back across and say, hey, man, that's pretty good. I like that. No, you ain't going to say that. No, you're going to say, I got to play my game up. You know, that's life. That's how life goes. So, Carol, anything else you want to share before we go to our next caller?
Yeah, that's good.
Okay.
Well, I'm good. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Okay. I think she was finished. Okay, we go to our next caller, also from Indianapolis, Indiana. Caller from Indianapolis, thank you for calling. Can you give us your first name?
Abdullah.
Brother Abdullah, thank you. My brother,
yeah.
How you doing, sir?
Yeah. Alhamdulillah. How you doing? Assalamu alaikum. I just have one thing to say. If a man won't treat you right, he won't treat you right. He won't teach you right. He won't treat you right. He won't teach you right.
Now, I mean, that's right. Okay. You said a mouthful. But if you want to, you can feel free to.
That's all
yes,
I had
sir.
To say, bro. And a beautiful program.
Thank you.
Keep up the good work.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. Yes, brother.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Mayor Imer, you have any comments you want to say and share on what Brother Abdullah said? If a man
won't treat you right, he won't teach you right. And if he won't treat you right, he won't teach you right. Yeah. Well, you know, that's because whatever he's going to teach you is going to be for you to be more of a slave to him, okay? To be more subservient to him, okay? And that's the whole thing, you know. I mean, why would the slave master, well, not the slave master, the slave holder, we got that straight, that language. Why would the slave holder, I got you, Mikhail, I got you. Why would the slave holder, you know, teach you how to be free, teach you anything other than being servitude to the slave holder? No, he's going to teach you, all right, but he's going to teach you how to be more of a servant to him. So he's not going to teach you, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I understand where his brother's coming from, and he's making a very good point. That's why they never wanted us to read in slavery. They never wanted us to read and be educated, because they knew once if we got an education and read, then we would look at things different, and we would stop doing the work that they had us do, so they could make so they could still make all that money. They didn't want to stop that money train, that cash cow they had. They had them a cash cow, and they took it all the way to the bank, and we didn't benefit at all from it. You know, so yeah, we see it. If he ain't gonna treat you right, he definitely ain't gonna teach you right, and that's true. Alhamdulillah.
Yes, sir. Alhamdulillah. But let me, you made a comment that got my attention.
Yeah. Yeah.
You said to read. To teach us to read. And there's a saying, a quote among educators. They said that you learn to read so that you can read to learn. And so a lot of us have been taught the alphabet, taught words in the language. But have we been taught how to read into the language? Not just to read the words written on the page, but to read and comprehend the message in the message on the page. Comprehension for not just to comprehend what they are saying, that's the beginning, but to comprehend what they are not saying while they're saying what they're saying. Because a lot of times there's more in what's inside the message than in the message itself.
Yes, sir.
Us being taught to read, and I argue this point here, in particular when it comes to Revelation, we were not taught how to read. We were taught what to read. Yeah? You got that? What to read. But we were not taught how to read.
Yes,
until Allah bless email W. Muhammad, just not to teach us only what to read, but how to read it, how to read into it. That perpetuation of slavery transferred from a physical control to a mental control because they didn't want our spirits to become enlightened on our own, to lead ourselves. So as long as you are reading perfect English, but you are only regurgitating what they said and how they said it, even your voice inflections and the raising and lowering the tone of your voice will be a copycat.
Yeah.
A parakeet. They know that Negro ain't learn how to read. He don't want to learn what to read. He's only reading what we taught him how to read.
That's right. Yes.
Can't nobody leave us alone. I hope it's coming through clear.
Right.
Can anyone lead us but us? Those who have experienced our pain, those who have experienced our history, those who have been blessed to come out of the fear. You know, when they had the issue last year, that was last year, year and a half ago, and they put the Mexican children into those cages and gave them aluminum foil for their blankets. And there was an outrage amongst the psychologists in our society. Mm-hmm. They made a very good point. They said, don't you know how much damage you are causing to those children? And how many years it would take them, even when they get back to their parents, how many years it would take them to get back to normal after putting them in those cages for weeks and months, laying on concrete floors in the aluminum foil? How dare you do that? And when I heard that, my mind said, what are they talking about? I understand what they mean, but my people went through 300 years on dirt floor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if it's going to take that child years to get over, and it will, and no disrespect for the suffering of those children. It was pitiful. It was shameful, embarrassing. But if they can understand that for those innocent Mexican children.
Yeah.
Being on concrete floors and losing the floor for better weeks and months, and how long it's going to take them to overcome that, and they can't see that for African Americans being enslaved for 300 years, and how long it's going to take us to overcome that, then they're hypocritical. They're hypocrites.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. They're hypocrites. Yeah. That's it.
Okay.
Alhamdulillah. So Brother Abdullah, thank you for bringing that to us. Go ahead.
Something that you said a while ago made me remember some lyrics from Curtis Mayfield. And he said,
yes, sir.
Uneducated fools from uneducated schools.
Kid schools.
Sipping people was a rule, polluted water in the pool.
The pool. Mm-hmm.
And that made me think about what you were saying about how the language that they gave to us was the language they wanted us to have. And we had to learn how to cipher through that to get to the truth. And the only way that could get there from is from somebody that come from where we come from. Because ain't nobody else qualified to do that.
Yeah, there you go.
That's right. That's right. Well, thank you, Brother Abdullah. You know, and if I'm going to come to my mind, they add to that, and we've seen the blessing already. Knowing that no others are qualified, to do that, then Allah sent us one.
Alhamdulillah.
Allah taught Imam Muhammad. We don't say this enough. No, and we say it this way, which is true. We say Allah bless Imam Muhammad. And that's true. But the real way to say it, to get the emphasis of it, is that Allah taught Imam Muhammad.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, why am I saying that? Why am I emphasizing that? They ask the same question that they ask Christ Jesus and they ask Prophet Muhammad. They say, where'd you get this from?
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't believe the answer. That God is God. So no, let me be quite clear. We know how people will get become sensitive. No, Allah did not reveal anything new. The final revelation came with Muhammad, Ibn Abdullah, Rasulullah. Okay, 600 years ago. That is the final revelation.
Yeah.
But the insights, the deep wisdom. The top seer's commentary, Allah himself taught Imam Waqif Muhammad himself. Somebody going to say, well, how are you going to prove it? I'm giving the same answer that everybody else gave. Go find me the teacher. Muhammad said, he said, Prophet Muhammad taught it. Go find the teacher. And people are trying to find the teacher now. They say, well, it must have been Dr. Jamil Diaw. And they think since Imam Muhammad's brother, his baby brother, Akbar, went to El-Azhar, they say, well, Imam Muhammad went to El-Azhar. No, Imam Muhammad did not go to El-Azhar. His brother Akbar went to El-Azhar. So find me the teacher. And we know he wasn't his father or his brother because of what they believe. And he had to bring them around. So when we look at the guidance and the blessings that we have, then Allah has found us wandering, and He gave us guidance.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you, Brother Abdullah.
Another proof too coming from the Quran when Allah says, "Ya'alimakum," that it is Allah who teaches you. "Ya'alimakum," it is Allah who teaches you. Yes, so
that's
God
right.
is the one doing
that's
the teaching.
Right.
He's the one doing the teaching. He is the best teacher. Alhamdulillah.
Amen. Alhamdulillah. So we do want to encourage our listeners to press 1 on their phone to have a comment or thought on this topic. We need to have this topic discussed. Because there are those who will come around our community and they say a very beautiful and true statement. They say, Aki, my brother, we are Muslims, we are the same. That's not what Allah said. Allah did not say we are all the same. He said we are from one human family. We all came from Adam and his mate. We all have to serve our Lord. Those are things we have in common. But Allah said He did not make this the same. Allah says for one water come plants and crops of different colors, but it's one water. And he said, also among mankind you find various colors. This is the Quran. Allah says to each of you is a goat that He punishes you. So don't come and think that we just going to say, oh yeah, alhamdulillah, but you're right, we are the same. We're not the same. Your children and your family are not the same. Identical twins are not the same. And I found this out about identical twins. They like it when people can finally see that they're not the same. Put us in the same color clothes and everything. They're trying to make us the same. Because even identical twins, they have distinction. But our bigger picture as the human race is our common goal, and that's toward the Kibbutz, the Kaaba. But even with facing the Kaaba, we all face from a different direction. Like Kibla is a different. The Kaaba is one, but the Kibla is different. Alhamdulillah. Brother Ibn Ayman, we're getting ready to go to your city. I see
yes, sir.
Some good brother. Brother Abin coming
in.
Amin,
go to front.
LA. Assalamu alaikum, brother. Wait a minute. Brother
Abin.
I think you're on
yes,
either
sir.
Bluetooth or speakerphone. Yeah, is she on Bluetooth or speakerphone? Yeah, because we hear background noise.
You hear a lot of background. Okay, I tell you what I'll do. Let me park. Give me five minutes to park, and I'll call back in.
Okay, all right.
That's all right.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, well, wait a minute. Before you do that, press 1 on your phone so when you come back in, you can press 1 a second time and get back in.
Okay.
Yes, sir. And then I know you're ready. Okay. Alhamdulillah. We had let you see my brother has to share with us. But I mean, press 1 on your phone, please. Otherwise, I won't know when you're ready to come back. Okay.
Yes, sir.
And when you come back, then he'll press 1 again. And we'll bring him on. Okay, I had a point I wanted to make a minute ago. Inshallah, come back to me. Oh, my goodness. Who was in the topic? Yeah, well, I think that's what I wanted to say. We want to work with all people. Muslims across the board, and in particular in America, we are quick to do interfaith. And I'm heavily involved myself in interfaith, to where we go and engage Muslims, Christians, Jews, Buddhists, Hindus, and we have conversations and dinners and programs. Even the churches and synagogues have hosted the iftar for us during Ramadan. Very beautiful, very inspirational. And I look forward to doing more and more. But the other word, that goes along with interfaith is intrafaith. I-N-T-R-A, intrafaith. And for our life as Muslims in America, while we are busy doing the good thing of interfaith, I-N-T-E-R, we need to begin doing intrafaith, Muslims getting to know Muslims in America. You hear me, Brother Imam Ayman? You hear me, dear listeners?
I hear you loud and clear. You're loud and clear.
Yes, sir.
I'm there.
You know, I was blessed just 24 hours ago, that's 24 hours ago, to do a wedding. It was very beautiful. And though I'm performing, doing the vows and all that, but the family has roots in India. Maybe Pakistan,
yeah.
India.
Yeah.
And when I saw their cultural expressions intermingle, it was Islamic wedding.
Yeah.
Some of their cultural expressions, as I would say, they were very beautiful. And also that I'm taking mental notes. And I'm going to call them back and find out more, inshallah. Because I'm going to call them back. I'm going to see and get more. Because one thing, what they done, after we done the ceremonies and exchanged the rings, they bought out this cup. About a little bit, about half quart, maybe. And it had a very sweet, because I asked the groom how it tastes. But what it was, that they would take, and the bride and the groom, now husband and wife, sat side by side on the couch, and they brought this cup out and set it before them. And their parents would go up to them and give them words of advice. And then each, the husband and wife, would take a sip out of the same cup. Then the other parents came forward and gave advice. And so the husband, he was kind of new to it. He said, same cup. They said, yes, you all are going to be doing everything together from here on out. Take this advice. And their sipping was that whatever advice they were getting from that person, they both were taking it in. I said, that's so beautiful.
Yeah.
And it didn't just stop there. I mean, the aunties came up, the grandparents came up, and each time they would give them some words of encouragement. And with each person, each time, they had to take a sip. I said, wow.
Yeah.
I said, that's
heavy. Beautiful.
Yes, and they had to they had to agree both to internalize whatever everybody gave them.
Yes, sir. Was both of the people from Pakistani?
No. No, he was African American.
Oh, African American. Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's African American. He's Pakistani. That's why he was kind of asking at the same cup. He's like he was for him. He was like a cultural introduction. But
gotcha.
It was so beautiful and so rich. I said, I like that idea. I like that idea a lot. But by us having intrafaith, it allows me to forget. Prophet Muhammad was always going to tell his companions when they traveled, he said, do not violate the culture of the people.
Yeah.
Now, if they had something that was against the oneness of God, he would say something. But their culture, their dance, their music, their clothing, their food, the prophet told his companions to respect the culture of these people. So we need to have more intrafaith. Intrafaith. We're not trying to be the other Muslim. They're not trying to be us. We want to, as it says in 49:13, to get to know anything you want to say on that before we go to our brother? Anything you want to share on that before we go to our brother Muhammad Amin?
No. But I want you to send me the hadith of what the Prophet said. When you go among the cultures of people, do not try to interfere with their culture. And I'm saying that because I'll talk to you. I'll talk to you in private about something. But send me the hadith if you can, inshallah.
Yeah, and also in one you can find probably easier. You recall the Prophet, he was traveling with his companions, and Bilal ibn Rabah, he came across some of his people doing the African dance.
Yeah.
And Bilal began to dance along with them, right?
Yeah.
And the other companions, I don't know whether they're ashamed or what, but they tried to stop Bilal.
Yeah, they did. Arabs.
But what did Rasulullah say?
He said, no, let them dance.
No. Let them dance.
Yep.
So you got it right there to where.
I'm familiar with that.
People won't come and try amongst us and try to lead us and tell us we can't dance or we can't do this, can't do that.
Yeah.
So then you go around there and go to their stores, man, and they be getting out.
Yeah, he'd be dancing, boy. That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
A
cultural dance.
But everyone put us in handcuffs.
Exactly. A straight jacket.
Okay.
How did you?
Yeah.
A straight jacket.
Yes, sir. Now, I saw my brother, but where did he go? Looking for my brother, Amin. Brother Amin, press one on your phone, please. Now, he was on there for a second.
Sure.
Okay. So maybe he'll come back.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, there he is. All right. Brother Amin, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Allahu
Akbar. Yes, sir.
You know, it's assalamu alaikum, everybody. It's a lot of good teaching and preaching, a lot of good information this morning about learning and, you know, I'm really enjoying the show, you know, but it has been a few years since Blog Talk Radio has allowed us to broadcast and teach each other and share with each other. And I'm grateful, you know, for that, being the beneficiary of a lot of good information and a lot of teaching and a lot of sincerity. And everything. You was talking about being taught how Allah taught Imam Muhammad, and you know, teaching and preaching. Well, it has emboldened us to the extent that where we are embarking on creating a Sister Clara Muhammad School here on the West Coast, a Sister Clara Muhammad School, mm-hmm. and we have a website. And we are quite proud of our website. And I was wondering if I could share the address, to you and the believers this morning, how to get to our website. Let us know how you like it. See if you could maybe contact us to see if we could improve it some way that you think it is. And if I could,
yes,
you know,
sir.
If I could give the address out. Appreciate it. Yeah, it's you know, this is a great experiment. What we want to do, we want to expand on the lessons and teachings and the inspiration and the legacy of Sister Claire Muhammad. So our website is www.semstemschools.com. That's SEM or Sister Claire Muhammad, but it's, in order to get there to the site, is SCM STEM, like science, technology, engineering, and math. That's what that stands for. School.com. Let me give it one more time. SEM STEM School.com. And that stands for the Sister Claire Muhammad School of Aeronautics and Astronautics. You know, .com.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because we are affiliated with tomorrow's aeronautical museum here in Compton at the Compton Airport. It's a brother named Robin Pettigrew, who has an aeronautical museum here, and he teaches children to fly airplanes and get their license and go on in the field of aviation and astronomics too. So we are affiliated with him, and learning from him. And so we call it Sister Claire Muhammad STEM School of Aeronautics and Astronautics. Now, astronautics is, you know, the study of space. And there's a lot of talk these days about space. People going up, give them $100 million and stuff.
Yes,
you know, people are doing things.
Yes,
Jeff Bezos went up to space. And the other brother from Virgin went up to space. And SpaceX right here in Hawthorne,
California.
So it's a lot.
Yes, sir. Yeah, let me ask you a question, both of you all. I guess to all of our listening audience. Keeping in line with our topic, only African-American Muslims can lead African-American Muslims to our destiny. So how important would you all say, we kind of know the answer, but I just want to revisit the topic. How important is having our own schools to this overall topic of only African-American Muslims can lead African-American Muslims to our destiny? How important is it having our own schools?
Very important. So we could say what we want to say, and nobody could censor us, and you know, I mean, and limit what we're saying. That we could keep God in everything we do. We don't want to just you know, kind of have God over here and academia over here. No. They go together. So. One of our main concerns, objectives.
Mm-hmm.
Main concerns is keep God in everything we do. Everything we do, because we do it at least five times a day anyway. So as we create our institutions and create our platforms to live and to get our message out, you know, we need to keep Allah ever alive in our heart and soul, you know, alhamdulillah. And also, while I got Brother Iman here, I want, you know, Brother Iman to come along and be the imam of our school, you know what I mean? Be the imam, because, you know, like I tell Brother Rashad, he's chock full of knowledge. He got the knowledge. He got the light, the brother.
He got it.
He know it.
He's been
for the last 30 years here in Los Angeles. And he ain't liked up, you know, at all. Even through his fall, he kept it going. So if he could bless us to be, come along and you know, be the imam out here, because actually, even though a lot of the rules have relaxed, the old rules was that an imam have to be affiliated with any type of Claire Muhammad effort. Am I right?
That's right. Should be that
right.
Man.
You know, so
So I mean, just let me know what's happening, man. You know, let me know. It's first time me hearing about this. So you know, you here down here in LA with you down here in LA with me. So you call me, let me know what's going on, man. Inshallah.
Yes, sir. I've heard, I've heard Imam Mikhail on a couple of occasions, ask you to be involved in a Tariq Muhammad effort here on a couple of occasions that I heard personally.
When you had the building out in Compton, and we had the Clara Muhammad School there. I mean, we were there until you sold the building. You know, we were there diligently.
Until I lost the building, we ain't got to get into what happened.
But the thing is that we that was our spirit. You know, me and my wife. We had quite a few students out there. You know, and we were just getting ready to grow, and then we had to do some other things. But inshallah, we'll get back to it. You know, I'm really happy that you're doing what you're doing. And just let me know what's happening, inform me, then we'll see how we can get involved and support it. Praise be to Allah. That's what we do.
Praise be to Allah.
Okay, yes, thank you, Brother Muhammad Ali.
You can still look online too and see what we contributed as WDM Muhammad. Yeah, still contributing to WDM Islamic Learning Center. You know, that's something that we've tried to establish too. What's Sister Clara Muhammad School?
WDM.
Yeah, alhamdulillah.
No.
WDM Islamic Learning Center. WDM Islamic Learning Center. Yeah.
WDM Learning
Center.
No, I'm just trying to say it slow for the listeners. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Thank you. WDM Islamic
Learning
Center. Right. Thank you very much. Thank you, Brother Amin. We appreciate that. I'm kind of laughing to myself. That's kind of like when the guy proposed to the girl during the football game at halftime, right?
Yeah.
How you gonna say no? But alhamdulillah. That's good. All right, we are coming down to our last few minutes of this program. I think we can do like a review, if any. If anybody want to get in the last 5 minutes and with a comment on this topic, please do. But we need to work on this conversation. We need to work closely with our other Muslims as well, and wherever they come from, wherever their background may be. Learn from them. Study their way of teaching and educating. Read the Quran with them, and study the Quran with them. This is how we grow, and they can learn from us. We have something to offer to them as well. No one has to be the lord over or dominant one race or ethnicity over another. We can relate that to chapter 49. Verse 13 of the Quran, it tells us that plainly, that Allah made us from a male and a female. Let me pull it up real fast so I can make sure I get it right. This is chapter 49, verse 13, where Allah says here in the Quran, أَوْضُ بَلَيْهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحِيمِ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ O mankind, Yah says, "Inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha." We created you from a single pair of a male and a female. Right. Waj'alnakum shu'uban wa qabaila. It made you into nations and tribes. Then it tells us why we were made into nations and tribes. Litta'arifu. To get acquainted, to get to know each other. But you see levels of development, if you will, if you can accept that phrase. The first level, a male and a female. So if Allah made the male and the male and the female was good. It was halal. It was healthy, wholesome, needed. Because Allah is good, and only makes that which is good. Then it advances to the next higher level. The next higher level is that, I says, that Allah made us to Uben, wa kabaila. He made us into, this is given in this translation, nations and tribes. Yeah? So if Allah made it, it's good. Your nation's good. Your tribe is good. Your nationality is good. Your skin color is good. Your hair texture is good. I don't care what it may be, because Allah is good and only makes that which is good. But he made it good for what reason? Lit to other food, so we can intermingle with each other without copycatting of each other. We still keep our distinctions. We still keep our ethnicities, our cultures, as long as they are halal, permissible. But we take that with us and intermingle with other people, other Muslims, other nationalities. Don't you like going to the Chinese restaurant one day and going to the African restaurant another day? The next week, going to the Italian restaurant? You don't want to walk into the Italian restaurant and you serve Mexican food. We want those distinctions. That's because Allah made them and they're good. So we can let the other food get acquainted with, acknowledge, respect each other. But it doesn't stop there. It goes after the nation of the tribe, it goes to the higher level, where Allah says, Akrasmakum iddelahi atkadkum. Oh, it takes, wait a minute, you see that, how it goes to the higher level above nations and tribes? It takes us to that in the eyes of God, the best of you is not that you from this tribe or this race or this nationality. Though that's good, it's not the conclusion. The higher picture is that, how's your taqwa, God conscious? You the Caucasian man, the white man, okay, that's good. You the African man, that's good. You the Italian, whatever, Chinese man, that's good. But for each of those distinctive races, how is your God consciousness? That's the bigger picture. That's the bigger picture. And it closes out saying, Inna Allaha Alimu Kabir, that Allah is full of knowledge. Full of knowledge. Kabirun, yeah, and well acquainted with all things.
Yep, so well aware.
49:13, it takes us to various levels, beginning with the base level of a male and a female, and evolves us up, and that's good. Then evolves us to the next level, a nation and tribe, which is also good. And it's even better when you get to know each other.
Yes.
Just out of food.
Come together.
And it goes up to a higher level. A higher level. How's your taqwa? Your God conscious. How is your taqwa? You know, we need to ask ourselves that question on a regular basis. And how is your taqwa? Are you working on it? Are you feeding it? Taqwa is an Arabic word that means God consciousness. Your awareness of what God says to do and what God says not to do. How well are you in line with that? That's a higher level than your race or your nationality. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. So, it's 3 o'clock here. Let's make it. What time do they make it for you?
Yes.
Well, we got about 1 minute left.
Yeah, that was beautiful.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you. Thank Allah. Yes. We got one caller here. We're going to call him. We got a minute. I may give him 2 minutes, maybe 3 minutes. I think call from 706. Make you the last caller. Can you give us your name and city?
Assalamu alaikum. Brother Muhammad from Columbus, Georgia.
I
just wanted to respond right quick, you know, that the highest level, the dhikr and the taqwa, is the level that Allah is telling us, those who believe, that's where you're supposed to stay at. Because the other levels
that
we have to grow out of, you know, to get to where your skin color, your relationships, you know, your where you come from is all based upon your service to Allah. And that keeps us from being involved in being engaged in discriminating or domestic problems and things that man has created for himself when he forgot to remember that our creation is higher than our earthly ties, you know, as being earth beings, you know, we just stick around in the realm of just being B, the way Allah said B and that was us. We wasn't made. We was created. He just said B, you know, but when he made us by incorporating us into the earth, it's part of our balance, using that terminology, and our growth, you know, for to give Shaitan his fight. That's why Shaitan uses the environment to try to turn us against each other first as man and wife and family. And then if that don't work, he'll try right on up the ladder until we get to the point where our taqwa, where we no longer listen to those discriminating racial images and all the other stuff he used to keep us divided.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. We can't get hung up on our skin color. We cannot get hung up on a lot of man-made titles, and that we do, and that's where we get stuck. That's where we get stuck.
Yes, sir.
The reason for choosing this topic, I see one of our destinies as African American Muslims is to get to where we can be recognized and recognize others and not be copycatting off of somebody else in the process.
Yes.
And that's for African Americans, even African American Muslims, that's a challenge for us that we
and if you don't mind saying that's why it's important we pay attention to what Imam Muhammad told us when he told us that there's enough Arabic scholars in our community to where we should be able to have a better English translation of the Quran, of the Arabic, of the Quran, so we don't have to keep calling each other all these different identifiers that Shaitan has given us. Because as long as we use the language of the world and of the schemes of the Shaitan to educate ourselves out of it, the more we're going to get stuck in it.
Yes, sir. I mean,
that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
We wanted to come to the table of humanity with the best that Allah has given us as individuals and as a people.
Yeah.
You know, there's a saying that was often heard to hear from my brother. He passed away, good Christian friend of ours. He was a state rep named William Bill Crawford. And he would tell us all the time, he said, if you're not at the table, you're on the menu.
Yeah.
If you're not at the table, you're on the menu. In other words, they're going to serve you up as to how they're going to use you in promoting their thing. I think that's what my wife was saying before. If you're not at the table, they got knives and forks getting ready to pick you up because you on the bench.
Yeah.
And they're going to feed off of you. They're going to take
cannibals.
You off. But that's your tax dollar. That's your education dollar. That's all the resources that you should have.
Yeah.
But until we lead ourselves and bring ourselves to the table, not beholding. Like that was the words of Bilal ibn Rabah when Abu Bakr freed him. Don't free me to make me beholding to you, Abu Bakr. Free me to be beholding to the one who created both you and me. In other words, I want equal status. And only African Americans can lead us to equal status, because if anybody else leads us, they always going to be saying, you see, I'm holding their hand to guide them. They are little boys, little girls. I have to hold their hand. So yep. This is what we're saying. Yes.
But when we come to that table, they say, what did you bring to the table? We tell them that we're bringing halal to the table. That's what we're bringing. We're bringing the best.
Well,
you know, the best for you to learn from and we to share from. Because when we bring halal to the table, they know what we're eating is better than what they're eating, et cetera, et cetera. They'll know the difference in the food that our creator is feeding us as opposed to their creator, whatever they believe in. But that's their creator, you know. And they'll see that
that's
the knowledge, the food, the shelter, the transportation, the marriage, and anything that when we share and get to know each other, they'll see that our creator is the only creator.
You know what? If
when they look at what their creator is giving them.
Well, and if I may add to that, as they say, what you bringing to the table? I say I'm bringing an independent mind. They got something to say. An independent free mind. They got something to say, and
right.
that is also
right.
willing to listen to what you have to say, and
yes, sir.
And take my name off the menu.
Yes, sir. Especially when they ask you a question, and then by the fact we are who we are, we're striving to tell the truth at all times. And when that truth keep knocking that falsehood out of their head to where they're talking the truth too.
Well, you know, and I do believe Allah knows best.
Yes,
sir. When we come to the table and they
yeah.
hear this new mind speak, they're going to say, sir, madam, next time, can you write the menu and set the table
mm-hmm.
for us? We like what
that's
you said.
Alhamdulillah. Yes, sir.
Alhamdulillah. Okay, we have to go.
Yeah.
We are past
yes,
the time. We're
yeah.
past the time. And I got a 4 o'clock Zoom. I'm there, buddy.
Okay.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad from Columbus, Georgia. I just want to let everybody
yeah.
know. And to say the date. Say the date for November 14th. We're working with
November
the Open Lawyer community. November
yeah.
14th, working on that date to have a national, maybe international Zoom call with the Muslim Open Lawyer. November 14th. And we got a planning session coming up. In less than an hour, so I have to get ready for that.
Yeah, and mashallah.
So
I would like to end it on what you said on the last surah about the most honored of you in the sight of Allah is the one who has the most taqwa, who has the most righteousness, God-fearing, the God-consciousness. When Allah says, "Laqad karamna bani Adam," we have surely given honor to all the sons and daughters of Adam, all the children of Adam. The way to
uh-huh.
keep that honor, you got to keep that taqwa. I just wanted to say that.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
We'll let that
all
be
right.
the last word. And
yes.
inshallah, we'll be back next Sunday with
yes.
a pertinent topic. If you have any, you know one topic I want to discuss?
What?
And I was sharing this with my son and my wife this morning after Fajr prayer. And I don't know how to, let me just say it, and then we can fine-tune later on. And let me just give me a second here. Including Salat. Or, not including. Well, anyway, I'll say it this way. Including Salat in the American Christian Privileged Society. Making Salat normal. In a Christian privileged society. You need to hear that talk, buddy, now. To where Salah can be just as normal as
yep.
bouncing the basketball down the street.
Uh-huh. They love.
We're not going anywhere. We got nowhere to go.
No. No, that's right. We got to establish
and
it here.
Not,
that's right.
We got to. That's the word. Thank you. That was the word. establishing Shalat
mm-hmm.
in a Christian privileged society.
Yes,
and
sir.
It's not so much for our generation, paving the way, clearing the weeds for the next generation.
Yes, sir.
That's the word. Thank you.
Yes,
establishing Shalat. Because a lot of people forget on the 17th floor, if you bought it, you can find it. On the 17th floor of the World Trade Center that was bombed by the terrorists, there was a musala. There was a musala in the World Trade Center, a prayer room.
Yes, sir.
But
that's it. Yeah.
And my son lived in Washington, D.C. He said, that's common in D.C. to have prayer rooms for Muslims and places of worship. So now in our other cities, and even our small cities, we want to have it to where this Shalat, our five-day prayers, is established in America, a Christian privileged society. I got to say it that way because we're trying to get some attention. We're talking about white privilege, and that's true. But there's a lot of Christian privilege. And we are not
going
anywhere. Inshallah, we're going to grow.
Don't forget Jewish privilege. Don't forget Jewish privilege.
Well, they say it. Judeo-Christian.
Yeah, that's what they say.
For the Muslims, they got to expand it. Judeo-Christian, Muslim, Hindu, Sikh, Buddhist. It's common.
Out here in California, though, when the Jewish have their holidays, they close the schools out here, the public schools. When they have their holidays.
Well, in New Jersey, they're closing the school for some of the Eids. So it's coming.
That's right. It's coming. Mm-hmm. Alhamdulillah. Yeah. All right, then. We got to go. All right.
We got to go. As-salamu alaykum.
Yes, sir. Wa alaykum as-salam. Yes, sir.
World. If you work a job, you are, 'cause those kind of words.